Are demonic attacks real, or are they a thing of the past? Hello and welcome to Discovering the Jewish Jesus. I'm your host, Dustin Roberts, and today Rabbi Schneider will be explaining how demons enter. We all experience thoughts from time to time that are less than godly, but have you considered where these thoughts come from? Are there any particular strongholds in your own life that you're struggling with? Well, in today's message, Rabbi's going to expound upon the supernatural realm, and he's going to be focusing on the powers of darkness. If you'd like to download Rabbi's teaching notes for this study on deliverance, you'll find them online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. But right now, let's get started.
Paul tells us in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 4 this, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses." What type of fortresses is he talking about? He's talking, beloved, about fortresses of spiritual darkness that the Bible calls Satan and demons. I want you to step back with me for a second and understand we're talking about spiritual energy that's personal. And even as God is a force in the world, even as he is a personal God that's invisible, there are also other forces in the world that are his opposite. That's why the Bible talks about in the end times, the what? The Antichrist will emerge. What does it mean, Antichrist? He's exactly anti who Jesus is. And why will the Antichrist arise? Because there's evil in the world that's antichrist. And this evil that's in the world, beloved, it does not automatically leave Christian people alone. Why was John the Baptist put to death? Why were all the disciples, beloved, of Jesus, rather the apostles, why were all the apostles martyred, put on the cross upside down? Why were their heads cut off? Why were they burned in oil? Isn't it because evil still exists in the world and the evil that's in the world hates what God is doing and hates who God is? In fact, I notice in my own life, oftentimes when I'm really moving forward in God, that's when I sense the greatest onslaught of evil against me. In fact, let me share with you an incident in my life. I was a very young believer. I knew really nothing about the devil or demons. I mean, I read in the New Testament, once Jesus brought me to himself, that the devil was real and the demons were real. I read it on a page with ink, but I had no revelation about it. And then one day I said to myself, you know what? The Bible tells me in the book of Hebrews that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And so I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to spend all day tomorrow just seeking God. And so I got up the next day and I had such a focus. I had such joy in me to take that whole day completely focusing on seeking God. And I remember as I was walking into my bedroom that night, I was thinking to myself, I'm going to have a really great reward. Something really great's going to happen to me because the Bible says that God's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And I just spent all day seeking God. And I went to bed with such anticipation as to what good thing was going to happen to me. And that night, beloved one, I was so violently spiritually attacked in my sleep. I never experienced anything like it or since. It felt like the most violent spirit attacked me in my sleep. And I felt like I was literally being slammed against the walls in my bedroom. Bam, bam, bam. Just violent attack upon my soul all night long. I woke up the next morning and I was like, I felt like I'd been run over by a Mack truck. And I was so shaken by the experience that fear actually entered my heart. And I thought to myself, wow, if that's what happened when you sought God so hard, maybe you shouldn't seek him so hard like that anymore. I had enough spiritual discernment, despite my young age in the Lord, to recognize that it was the devil that must have done that, and he was trying to stop me, beloved one, from seeking God. The point is that when we press forward in the Lord, sometimes that's when the enemy attacks the fiercest, because remember, he's anti-God. He wants to stop us from laying a hold of God. And you need to be ready, and I need to be ready to understand that when we're advancing in the Lord, that there's going to be resistance. That's one of the primary definitions of the devil. He's the one that resists God. He tries to hinder God, and he's trying to stop you, beloved ones, and he's trying to stop me. And the weapons that we defeat him with, Paul said, are not flesh weapons, they're spiritual weapons. Listen, again, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses, spiritual strongholds. Our fight's not against flesh and blood. And so we've been talking about this amazing battle that we're in right now, and it takes a spiritual enlightenment to be able to stop looking at the flesh and blaming the flesh for everything. It takes revelation for you to lift your eyes above the natural world to understand, beloved, that what I'm telling you is the truth, that your fight and my fight is not against flesh and blood. Our real fight, beloved, is in the invisible realm of the Spirit. And until we learn how to warfare in the invisible realm of the Spirit, we're never going to attain victory. You see, just because we're born again, it doesn't mean that we automatically are living in victory. I mean, think about all the people that you know that call themselves believers. How many of them are really living, beloved, in the type of experience that you want to live in? And yet the Bible tells us that we should be living in victory. Jesus said that the purpose for us is that we would be like lights on top of a hill, that everybody would be able to see us on top of that hill, and they would be so marveled at our life and at God's goodness on us that they would look up in heaven and give glory to the Father. In other words, that the victory of God would be apparent on our lives. This is God's will for us, that people would look upon us and that we would be signs and wonders for him. And people would ask, how do they live this way? How do they live in the soundness of mind they live in? How do they walk in such wisdom? How is it that they carry themselves the way that they do? How is it they're able to look up and live in this victory? And they'll say to themselves, well, God, their God must be real because I see God's victory on their life. But how many people do you know that are living that type of a lifestyle? We have to overcome. Jesus said 7 times in the first several chapters of the book of Revelation, Revelation 2 and 3, he said, he that overcomes will inherit these things. We need to fight. We need to fight the fight of faith, Paul said. And so in this series, I'm wanting the church to gain understanding of the fact that we're in a real war. I'm wanting to help you get revelation of this. And then I'm wanting to give you tools through the Word of God so that you can know how to fight the powers of darkness, subdue them under your feet, and gain victory and a spiritual advantage, hallelujah, over the enemy in your life.
You're listening to Discovering the Jewish Jesus, and Rabbi Schneider will be right back. To go beyond what you're hearing today and to connect with this ministry further, simply visit us online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up to receive Rabbi's weekly Seeds of Revelation newsletter, which includes up-to-the-minute ministry news along with a powerful video devotional. Or if you prefer to connect by phone, call us today at 800-777-7835. At the core of everything we do at Discovering the Jewish Jesus is our commitment to declare the whole counsel of God's Word from start to finish. In fact, Rabbi's unique way of connecting the Old and the New Testaments has helped people all over the world to understand the Bible with fresh eyes. To join us in this work of God, give a donation online today at discoveringthejewishjesus.com or call 800-777-7835. And now here is Rabbi Schneider.
On last broadcast, I began to talk about how spirits of darkness enter. And we talked about generational spirits, that spirits can be passed on from our mom, our grandfather, our father, our great-grandfather. To try to make it easy to understand, I gave the analogy of depression. If your dad was depressed, probably his mom or dad was depressed, and probably you struggle with depression. If your mom or dad was an alcoholic, probably their mom or dad was an alcoholic, and probably you've had to battle that same fight. Now, listen, please. This doesn't mean that we're doomed, because all these things can be canceled and broken in Jesus. But if we don't understand what we're dealing with, in other words, some people say, I've tried everything and I can't get free from this thing. And they don't understand why. But oftentimes, the thing that's going to get them free is to understand that the problem that they're having is not a problem that they have to own, because it wasn't their problem in the first place. It was passed on to them through their mom and dad. This is why Jesus said, unless a man hates his own father, mother, brother, and sister, he can't be my disciple. And we scratch our head. How could Jesus say that a man has to hate his own father and mother if they're going to be his disciple? That doesn't make sense to some of us, because we think that, you know, our God's a God of love. But what Jesus is saying is, your soul alliance, Jesus says, has to be to me alone. Because if your soul alliance isn't to me alone, you're not going to be able to get to the level of victory that I have for you. You're not going to be able to truly be my disciple, because you're going to still be more connected to your flesh and blood relative. And the problems that they had, you're going to have, because your primary allegiance isn't to me. If you want to rise to a higher level than your mom or dad, you have to recognize that there's things in their life that are problematic. And unless you make your allegiance to me above them, you're going to have the same problems that they had. Do you understand that? So the first way that spirits enter into our lives, beloved, is through our family history. These are called in Scripture, in the Hebrew Bible, familiar spirits. Why are they familiar spirits? Because they've been in the family. They're familiar. And sometimes we're so familiar with these spirits, we don't even realize that they're foul. In other words, people that are dealing with the spirit of depression, they are so used to being depressed, and they're so used to being around people that have been depressed in their family growing up, that they actually are putting their arm around depression, this foul, loathsome spirit, and they're so comfortable with it, it's so familiar to them, they're holding on to it like it's their friend. We break the power right now, Father God, of every spirit that is holding captive the children of God in Jesus' name. Jesus, I take authority over Satan in your name on behalf of your people, and I break off of them spirits of loathsome depression. I break you in Jesus' name. Satan, I command you to release the children of God right now. I take authority over all spirits of depression, and I break you, and I break you off the necks of God's beloved ones in Jesus' name. Get behind them now. And beloved, what we're attempting to do and are going to do in this series is teach you how to warfare against your enemy. And I want to teach you by the grace of God to fight for yourself and bring self-deliverance to yourself through the grace of King Jesus. Now, I also talked about, as I continued on entry points, I talked about personal sin. And when you and I personally sin, we are actually opening up a legal right for Satan to gain access into our life. And there are certain things that you may have done in your life, even before you became a believer, certain types of sin where you opened up a door for a spirit to get in, and now that spirit is still harassing you. Now, let me clarify that a believer cannot be possessed by a demon. Listen again, church. Believers cannot be possessed by the devil. Possession implies ownership. And we cannot be owned by a demon or by the devil. We're God's children. We're God's sons and daughters. We're the inheritance of Jesus. God alone owns us. But listen to me, what demons do and what demonic energy does, get this now, church, it invades our space. It can enter into our space. If there's an opening in our space, a demon can get in. He can occupy space. He's a squatter. He's not supposed to be there. But he can enter in and occupy space either in our minds or even in our bodies. And when that happens, these demonic persons need to be confronted by the living word of God, by Jesus himself, and driven out. Let me share with you a dream that God gave me that gave me revelation on this subject several years ago. In the dream, I was living in this really dilapidated, broken down house. It was really, really small, and it was just a depressing place to be. Now, right across from where I was living, just like 30 feet away, there was another house. The other house was big and it was beautiful and it was clean and it was brand new. And in the dream, I knew that that other house, that beautiful house, was mine. I owned it. But why was I living in the dilapidated little broken down house? Because in the big house that I owned, there were squatters. In the dream, they had the form of human beings, but I could literally see that they were demons because the energy that was coming from these beings in human form was so hostile and so full of hatred. I knew they were demons, and I was afraid to go into that beautiful house that was mine because those squatters, those demons were living in it. I was afraid to go in and take possession of my space. I was afraid to occupy my space, just like the God of Israel told the children of Israel, I have given you a land flowing with milk and honey. God said, I am bringing you into a spacious place. But what happened? They didn't go in. Why? Because when the Lord had them go look at the land, when they sent spies into the land, the 10 spies came back and they said, we cannot go into that land because there's giants in it. And the fear of the giants kept Israel from taking possession of their land. It's a shadow, beloved, of the type of environment that God has for us in the Spirit. He has such a bigger space for you and I to live in. He has a space for you and I to live in that's filled with peace. It's filled with love. It's filled with no fear. It's filled with courage. It's just a beautiful place to be living, to be experiencing, but we're not entering fully into this space, most of us, because we're afraid to face the demons that are keeping us from entering in. And we don't even know that the demons are keeping us from entering in because we don't even have the self-awareness to know what's going on. See, I've learned in my life that when Satan is making me afraid of something, when I begin to face that fear psychologically, Satan makes me afraid when I begin to face it, that the thing that I'm afraid of is going to happen to me for facing it. You see, he tries to make us afraid of facing him. But in the dream, let me tell you what happened as I get back to the dream. So these beings, these demonic beings are squatters in my space, in my house, and I'm trapped in this little broken down dump. But finally, I get so tired of living in this depressed, broken down space that I say, you know what? I don't care what happens to me. Even if I die, I'm going to go face that demon that's living in my house. And I went to the door of that beautiful house and I waited for the demon to come out. And when he came out, church, I took a hold of him by the collar. I threw him on the ground and I started punching him in the face. And when I first started punching this demon in the face, again, it was in human form, it seemed like nothing was happening at all. Listen, I felt totally powerless. I felt my blows were having no effect on him whatsoever. But I was so focused on, I am not going to stop. I'm going to keep punching. I'm going to not live in that dilapidated place anymore. I'm going to take possession of the beautiful place that's mine. I just kept pounding away, and all of a sudden, all the air went out from that demon, and bam, he was gone. And then the dream was over. And the Lord was showing me there, I have a bigger space for you to live in. It was illustrated by the house, of course. I have got a place for you to live in that's free from fear, free from worry. It's a big place. It's full of shalom. It's full of love. It's full of goodness. I've got that space for you to enter. But in order for you to enter it, you're going to need to face the demons. You're going to need to face the worry. You're going to need to face, beloved ones, the fear. You see, demons disguise themselves as angels of light. You don't know that they're demons that you're dealing with because demons occupy the realm of thought. We read about, for example, in the book of 1 Chronicles 21:1, this, then Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. David didn't know that it was Satan that was moving him to number Israel. David thought it was his own thoughts. Now, on next broadcast, I want you to join me as we talk about how demons don't appear as these hideous beings with horns on their head. No, but rather they project thoughts into our mind and we're deceived into owning those thoughts, thinking that they're our own.
You're listening to Discovering the Jewish Jesus, and we've been talking about how demons enter. And if you'd like to listen to this message again, or if you'd like to share it with a friend, let me invite you to subscribe to our new daily podcast. These daily messages will be available 24/7 on your favorite podcasting platform or through our YouTube channel. So be sure to click the subscribe button today. And then if you'd like to learn about all the other ways you can catch this program while you're on the go this summer, just go to discoveringthejewishjesus.com. You know, so many people love Rabbi's teachings because it's straightforward and authentic. Just listen to this comment from a listener. Rabbi Schneider, I have listened to your program for 3 years now, and I love it. Your preaching is sound and revelational. I have been a Christian for 35 years, and God is using your program and the Holy Spirit to deliver me from a long history of demonic influence and control. Without getting into the detail, I just want to say thank you for your ministry. Well, it's because of your faithful prayers, friends, and your partnership that we can provide these messages. We'd love for you to partner with us this year. Here's Rabbi to tell you more.
In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, we read this. The Lord says, "Those that honor me, I will honor." You see, beloved, we receive from that which is on a person when we honor who that person is. The Lord says, "Those that honor me, I will honor." This is true of the Jewish people as well. The Lord said to Abraham, "I will bless those that bless thee." Beloved, I believe there's a supernatural call upon my life and upon this ministry. And by you sowing financially into this ministry, I truly believe that you're going to receive so much more from it. Your financial contribution to this ministry will bring you into relationship with the anointing that's on this ministry. And beloved, you're going to be blessed. I want to ask you, make a financial contribution today. I'm very confident it will come back to you pressed down and good measure.
You know, at the very core of everything that we do and that we'll continue to do is Rabbi's commitment to teach biblical truth. You can automate your monthly giving today by going online to discoveringthejewishjesus.com or by giving a gift of any amount over the phone by calling 800-777-7835. And as a token of our appreciation for your generosity, we want to send you a select audio CD of Rabbi Schneider's Message of the Month, and it's also available as a download. And then for our new monthly partners, we have an additional token of appreciation, an authentic, handcrafted shofar that's made in Israel. You know, Rabbi's unique insights into the Old and the New Testaments, they bring clarity to God's Word, which helps us understand that the powers of darkness have no hold over those who love the Lord. Jesus came to set us free, and we are free indeed. And if you'd like to share your freedom with us, your story, then send us a testimony at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. We love to hear from you. And now to close with a special blessing, here's Rabbi Schneider.
In the book of Numbers, chapter 6, the Lord gave instructions to Moses and Aaron to speak this blessing over his people. And the Lord said, "When you speak these words over my people, I will place my name on them and bless them. Receive the impartations of the Lord's blessings."
Yavarechecha Yahweh vayishmarecha. Ya'er Yahweh panav elecha vihunecha. Yisa Yahweh panav elecha ve'asem lecha. Shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift you up with his countenance, and the Lord give you, beloved one, his peace. God bless you and shalom.
I'm your host, Dustin Roberts, and Discovering the Jewish Jesus is a production of Shalom Ministries. Be sure to join us next time when Rabbi Schneider talks about unforgiveness, woundedness, and trauma. That's coming up Friday on Discovering the Jewish Jesus.